Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, we had another GOP debate last night. For my part, I've kind of lost count of the number of GOP debates we have. And in fact, there's another one coming up sponsored by CNN. Soon, but this was supposed to have a more civil air to it. You know, John, we've had a number of debates where it's been at times a little raucous. There's been controversy over the audience's reaction.
And there's been, I mean, there's been a narrative of sort of who's the front runner and who's the challenger. And I think that was actually borne out here. It was mostly about Cain and Romney, with Cain surging and Romney sort of solidifying his role at the top.
Well, right. And that's how it felt like watching it on the TV. And we can find out whether it felt that way actually at the debate with Anna Sale. She's a reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC Radio. So, Anna, is that what kind of set this debate apart, aside from the fact that it was at an Ivy League college? Did we have a front runner?
Well, this debate again came after the field is set. Chris Christie had announced just a week ago that he wasn't going to run for president, and just a few hours before this debate endorsed Mitt Romney. And the way this debate was set up, all the candidates were seated around a table together, and Mitt Romney was front and center, and it really seemed like he was the chairman of the board sitting on the stage, and all the other candidates were gunning for him. But this was really the debate where it was clear that Mitt Romney is absolutely the presumptive nominee, and short of a major stumble, he's looking like he's quite comfortable.
Well, the other thing that we've seen in many of these GOP debates, Anna, is that every time someone sort of rises in the polls, they get attacked at the next GOP debate, and that seemed to be borne out with Herman Cain, who's seen a lift to his numbers. He was the focus of a lot of attention and criticism last night for his 999 tax proposal.
Right. This debate, again, was also significant because Rick Perry, who there was a lot of sparring between Romney and Perry in previous debates, Rick Perry was just absolutely a non-factor. And Herman Cain has since surged in the polls. He's now just behind Romney in both New Hampshire and national polls. And so his 999 plan got talked about a lot. Again, this is a plan that he has to throw out the tax code and do a 9% personal income tax, 9% business tax, 9% national sales tax. And that really framed a lot of the debate. And it also set up Mitt Romney to be able to say, look, Mr. Cain, that sounds good, and it sounds good and simple, but sometimes simple is inadequate. So Mitt Romney was able to both sort of say, I hear what you're saying, but look at how I'm more reasonable and more experienced than you are on this stage.
We're speaking with Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC Radio. You know, Anna, we keep waiting for one of these candidates to sort of capture the imagination of Republican voters. And I'm wondering, you got some reaction from voters themselves. Are any of these GOP debates, including last night, swaying people?
Well, I went around and talked to small business owners in New Hampshire before the debate, and these are voters who are in New Hampshire. They have just been in the middle of this onslaught of campaigning for months now. And how to stimulate the economy has been the number one thing these candidates have been talking about. But the folks I talked to just feel like still nobody is speaking to them. I talked to a guy named Chris Luderitz, who's a manufacturer. He owns a company called Quality Castings and Aluminum Products. And this is what he had to say about the debate, both in Washington and among the Republicans. Candidates.
It's all about a quick fix. I think it's all about who gets elected today. I mean, right now it's, you know, the Democratic Party fighting with the Republican Party, pointing fingers at who's at fault. Who gives a damn who's at fault? Just fix the problem. I mean, really sit down and look long term.
Well, that's completely that his comment that he doesn't care who's at fault. That clearly the Republican candidates don't agree with him. That last night was all about blame.
Yeah, the Republican candidates did not get the memo. We talked about, there was a lot of talk about the mortgage meltdown, what role the federal government played in that, and predatory lending. A lot of talk about the Fed, and so it's about blaming President Obama and also blaming policies that led to the recession, and they are trying to distance themselves from that, but at the same time calling for things like deregulation. So it's a bit of they're threading the needle here on saying we want to keep government small and pull back regulations that are anti-business, but it's the federal government's fault that we had this calamity in the first place.
But did any of the voters come out and be, or were passionate about any of the candidates?
Well, of course, you have lots of folks wearing stickers for particular candidates and got excited, and in the mix, it was a buzzing atmosphere at the debate itself. But once you get a little farther away from the campaigns, from the volunteers, there is that just sense of disaffection and hopelessness, and both about the Republican field and, again, about President Obama and the debate in Washington. This is a guy I talked to named Tom Mills, and he owns a restaurant in New London, New Hampshire, and business has actually not been bad. But when I asked him about, you know, any of the things that are talked about in the jobs bill, if that would help him, if that would encourage him to hire, he just said no, that he is just checked out of politics, that he doesn't even know if he's going to vote in the primary as a New Hampshire voter. And this is what he said.
No, there's nobody in the mix that I think can do anything. I mean, I'm not impressed.
Okay, so he not only is saying that he's not impressed, but his tone absolutely makes him sound completely uninterested.
And flat and depressed and just checked out. So
he needs a hotline, Anna.
So what I heard, again, is once you get outside of the sort of debates about taxes and spending and regulations, there's a real hunger for some kind of articulated vision about what the economy will look like after this recession. What is the plan? How is the American economy going to work? Because voters realize this was decades in the making, and they're not hearing anybody say how it's going to get turned around.
You know, this strikes me that we hear the same kind of tone from somebody else you spoke to. This is Joan Osteen, who owns a business called Country Pine Furniture.
Somebody writes would have to correct the wrongs to get it back. I don't know how. I think it's going to take for quite a length of time to get things back to what it was. It is, I don't know, it just seems like everything snowballed.
And the thing about Joan Osteen, she's saying that she doesn't know how long it's going to take to get right. And then at the same time, she's saying her family business that's been open since 1947, she's not sure if they're going to make it through the winter.
Wow. Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
You can give us your reaction if you watched the GOP debate last night. Tell us what you think. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Is there any candidate that you're particularly passionate about, or maybe none of them?